can answer it. She's been doing this show for a long time, has co-written the Plant Doctor column with Dana Lozano in the Press Democrat for 25 plus years. She was the buyer over at the old Callaway's Nursery. Remember that on Highway 12, that magnificent nursery? And that was by 20 years ago or so, wasn't it?
It's going back a ways. 1993, I think, is 26. When I started for 10 years.
Yeah.
So until 2003.
Plus, she also farms her 2.5 acres north of Santa Rosa that, knock on wood, escaped any damage during the fire. Although I know you had a number of friends that lost their structures and even their houses up in the Healdsburg and Chalk Hill area, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yep.
So our hearts go out to our many listeners and friends that are having to deal with this in the future. One of the farm markets, by the way, that you are used to going to over at the Veterans Building has been displaced today because the Veterans Building is still an evacuation center and staging location for Cal Fire this morning, as well as PG&E. So the Veterans Building Farmers Market, that's usually held on Saturday morning, has been moved over to the Farmers Lane Plaza. That's at 1501 Farmers Lane, right at the end of Farmers Lane before you hit Bennett Valley, across from the old Johnny Garlic's restaurant and actually KS Auto. We're right there on Neotoma. So if you're heading to the Vets Building this morning, do a U-ey and come on over to Farmers Lane and head down to the Farmers Lane Shopping Center. Mm-hmm. The market's pretty much all in front of the Rite Aid there in the parking lot. So if that's where you were heading, that's today only. Hopefully they'll be back in their old Veterans Building location next Saturday. So we wanted to mention that. And also, I noticed there's a T-shirt that's coming out. A lot of people like to wear the T-shirts to remind themselves and us about what so many went through. It's the Kincaid Fire T-shirts. And KS Auto, along with the apparel partner Vigimoto and Petaluma, has created a special T-shirt. It's a first responder thank you shirt and a Sonoma Stronger shirt. And all the net proceeds will benefit the Community Foundation Sonoma County's Resilience Fund, which is committed to long-term fire recovery in Sonoma County and will be supporting Kincaid Fire victims. The shirts will be on sale tomorrow at Friedman's Home Improvement Center in Petaluma. Friedman's Home Improvement Center in Petaluma tomorrow, starting at 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. And you can go to ksro.com right now if you'd like to take a look at the shirts. Beautifully designed. I'm looking at it right now. So for those of you that like to wear a shirt, Friedman Brothers Petaluma tomorrow will have those available. So far, PG&E saying their records show about 100% electrical power restored as of this morning. Except for people, obviously, in the fire evacuation zone that are not allowed to re-enter yet, those power. But everyone else who is back from the evacuation should have electrical power this morning. They're still working on restoring gas power by the end of today's day. They're doing sight line inspections of the mains, the gas mains, and will need to relight and restart your power if you have gas. If you're not at home, unfortunately, they can't do that. You'll have to call and make an appointment. But if you're home today, you should have gas by the end of the day.
Perfect.
So that's good news.
Perfect.
Okay, what else do I need to tell you? That's about it for right now. We're looking at containment about 80% as of this morning, which much better. It was 68% when we left last night. So they're continuing to make progress in the Kincaid Fire. November 7th is the date when they say full containment can be expected, but if the winds cooperate, it may be earlier. And temperatures still warm, it's upper 70s, maybe kissing 80, but that's not the most important factor. It's of course the wind.
Yes.
And the long-term projection is for minimal gusts of winds, maybe 5 miles per hour, maybe 10, but nothing like we've experienced the past couple of weeks. So all good news. Garden Talk can take questions now. 636-1350 if you want to share your experiences coming home and seeing what your gardens look like and what you should be doing. Is it time to plant some vegetables, a little sign of hope, put some bulbs in the ground? What should I be doing? What shouldn't I be doing? Is it too early or too late to prune? Fill in the blank, those type questions.
I have something to say. You know, we were talking about my corn stalks are 15 feet high with the corn nut variety. Well, when we were evacuated, the corn stalks were green, right? And then when we came home, they're just brown and dried out and windblown and whatnot. And so guess what? They're all down on the ground. So I don't have to knock these 15-foot corn stalks down. Yeah, because now it's time to, you know, take the ears off the corn stalks. But, yeah, so they were all down. So at least the wind made that job easy for me.
And what are you going to do now with them?
Tom, my friend, is going to be figuring out how to, you know, put the seasonings on them and dry them and whatnot to make some corn nuts. So that's his job.
Homegrown Sonoma County corn nuts.
Yeah, and I've got a whole big pile of corn ears. Yeah.
What are you going to do with those?
No, those are what he's going to make the corn nuts out of.
That's the corn nuts.
Yeah. So I'll take the husk off for him. That's the least I can do. And but I can't believe how quickly those corn stalks went from, you know, nice green stalks, green foliage to crisp. Mm-hmm. I mean, totally, like you put them in an oven.
Like in a dehydrator.
Yes. Yeah. So, but, you know, that's okay. And the sunflower stalks that I've been taking down. Mm-hmm. Those are all down too. So most of them are all down, just whoom, down. So now I have to get rid of those things. And
I have to thank our local owl population because many of us, of course, have been struggling with rat problems, which have increased in Sonoma County exponentially these past few years. And yesterday in the backyard, I saw a rat, a pretty good sized one, just lying there. And I noticed the past couple of days an increase in owl activity around the house in the middle of the night, which I'd never heard before.
Wow.
A lot of owls, I guess, have set up shop around the area. And do you think that might be possible that an owl grabbed that rat?
Of course. That rat? It's like, thank you very much.
Right?
Grab them and off you go.
Yeah.
You've seen them, you know, carrying snakes in the air and gophers and whatnot. So, sure, they would get rats.
All right. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Owl.
There you go. Hey, put up some owl boxes on your property.
I should.
Well, there's a lot to it. I can't say you can't put them up.
Just,
they need to be out in the open or somewhere, and, you know, away from buildings and a clear shot to get into their little place.
But someone on the KSRO staff has a good sense of humor, I noticed.
Why?
Because we've talked about rat control and our frustrations with capturing and best methods too, and been pretty successful. Well, obviously someone listens in the building to Garden Talk, because in my box this morning, look what I found.
What? Oh, that's gross. For everybody, it's a rat chocolate, white chocolate rat on a stick.
Lollipop.
Oh, geez.
It's a looks
ahead.
Like a chocolate mold in the shape of a rat.
Yeah.
Good. Using white chocolate. And so this, there was nobody took credit for this, but there it was.
I'm surprised they didn't put a hint of black food coloring in there and make it a little bit grayer.
Oh.
Make it look more realistic.
I could do that. Maybe I'll do that. I'll put little red beet dots on the eyes. Anyway, isn't this funny?
That is funny. Okay. Yes.
Put that aside.
Yeah. Hide it. Don't put it in front of my face. Oh, well, you know, that's probably for Halloween.
Exactly, Gwen.
Okay.
You got it.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
why
thinking,
it
okay.
appeared this morning in my box. Anyway,
cute.
We'll come back and we'll take calls 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. If you want to share some gardening experiences these past several days, looking forward to a possible fall and winter garden, what should you be planting now? Is it too late to put in some bulbs for spring? What should I be pruning? What shouldn't I be pruning? What should I be watering? I guess it's everything at this point. Composting, layers of mulch. So much to do now as we come back to very desiccated, dried out landscapes this week. Join us in the KSRO greenhouse. 636-1350. Our producer, Magic Mike Pine Bark, is taking your calls now. And if it's ringing, just let it ring, because he's taking a couple other calls right now too. You can always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com.
Bennett Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
That's a great question. I get that all the time. I'm so glad you asked.
Dr. Walter Tom loves questions.
Yes, varicose veins can be painful. I have them and so does my mom, so I get it. The cool thing is that treatments are no longer painful.
In fact, Dr. Tom thinks you should ask as many questions as you like before any procedure.
I understand your concerns. That's why I do all my surgeries under local anesthesia. It's the safest way to have a procedure.
Dr. Tom is never in a rush and thinks every question is a good question.
You're really not asleep for the surgery. Local means that I can communicate during the procedure and we can make sure that you get what you really want. you're going to have less pain and a quicker recovery.
Dr. Walter Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in the North Bay. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation. Call Dr. Walter Tom at 542-8346 or go online to drwaltertom.com. Your questions matter to Dr. Tom.
Hey, Sonoma County. Thank you for making Creams Towing the number one rated heavy-duty towing company in Sonoma County. Creams Heavy Duty Towing has the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty rigs in Sonoma County and have been around since the 70s, so they're doing something right. Creams Heavy Duty Towing is on the road 24/7. Got a big rig stuck or need a four-wheel drive tow truck? Creams has the knowledge and experience to tow any and all large trucks. Their goal is to get you back on the road and home safe in the shortest amount of time. Need an RV towed? You guessed it. Creams Heavy Duty Towing can do that too. Their Class A drivers are fully insured and certified in heavy duty towing. Don't scream. Call Creams. 707-588-1250. Creams Heavy Duty Towing. 588-1250.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
This is KSRO, Steve Garner, along with Gwen Quilcher, and it's wonderful to be able to host Garden Talk today instead of what I've been doing for the past week. Garden Talk was cut short last Saturday because that's when our fire coverage kind of really kicked into high gear on Saturday morning. We didn't get to all the questions during the show, and here's one of them. Hi, Gwen and Steve. I'm listening to your garden program this morning. This is from last Saturday. My yard has three crepe myrtles that might be 25 to 30 years old. Upon my moving to this property 6 years ago, I saw lots of powdery mildew. Despite my pruning each winter and cutting off new growth showing white powdery mildew, the trees seem overcome with it. Here are some pictures showing that the blooms were powdery too. Now, can these trees be restored to better health? And she sent a couple photos.
That was from Lori. Unfortunately, way back when we started planting crepe myrtles and they became popular, they are prone to powdery mildew. And so not too long ago, you know, somebody came up with varieties, particularly with Indian names to them, that's how it started, that were more resistant to powdery mildew. And then just a few years ago, more varieties became available with, you know, brighter, more vibrant colors and shorter, you know, more dwarf sizes and whatnot that are even more resistant to powdery mildew. So unfortunately, your three crepe myrtle trees are not resistant to powdery mildew. Oh. So, you know, you can, there's nothing really that you could be spraying on them that will be effective, because whatever's out there, whatever fungicide is out there, it's a fungus and it blows around in the air and it just is like a magnet to your trees. Whatever fungicides are out there that say are for powdery mildew, the thing is you have to spray and spray and spray and spray and spray from when they start practically leafing out until the end of the season. So it's like also with roses that get powdery mildew, the same thing. So, you know, it's very difficult to control. You know, there you could use some, if you want, again, spray with horticultural oil, I think baking soda, water, soap mixture in a gallon of water. I mean, but then, you know, your trees are probably a good size and you have to cover the whole tree and cover every part of the tree to keep it, to keep the powdery mildew from spreading. So, Lori, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it is what it is with these trees. And I wouldn't want you to cut them down or anything, because I'm sure the trunk is gorgeous and the branches, and, you know, maybe sacrifice the flowers and just do some pruning and keep them from flowering. But then the leaves get it as well. You could just, you know, look at them the way they are and maybe plant some other crepe myrtles that are resistant to powdery mildew someplace else in the garden. And enjoy looking at those, and just look at the bark on the trunk on these trees.
Okay.
Because you really don't, you know, I'd hate to tell her to cut them down.
It never outgrows it?
No, it doesn't. And then depending on the year, the moisture and lack of moisture, some years the trees will have it worse than, you know, sometimes it's a good year, sometimes it's a bad year. And I think this year is a really bad year for powdery mildew.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I don't have better news. But like I said, all those fungicide products out there, if you're going to find something that you spray one time, I'm sure it's going to be really nasty for the environment, for the bees and the butterflies and the birds and everything else, and not something I would want to use on my trees.
A KS Arnold reminder that Mountain Mike's Pizza is partnering with Redwood Empire Credit Union to serve free meals to evacuees and first responders. It's today from 2 to 5 at the Mountain Mike's Pizza on Cleveland Avenue. That evacuated families, first responders for the Kincaid Fire. A free meal at the Santa Rosa Mountain Mike's. That's 3125 Cleveland Avenue. And it's only at the Mountain Mike's on Cleveland Avenue in Santa Rosa. The free meals for evacuated families and first responders between 5 and 8 today. Only the free meal being offered is the restaurant's all-you-can-eat buffet. So if you qualify for that, you fall under that purview. We thank Mountain Mike's Pizza for offering that to our evacuees and first responders. 636-1350, open lines for Gwen and Steve for Garden Talk today. Anything to report from your experiences this last week? Is it too early to prune? Is it too late to prune? What can I be planting now to give me hope for some vegetables in the late fall and early winter? What bulbs can I look forward to looking at next spring if I plant them? Now, we put in about 75 freesias last month.
Good for you.
And we're hoping those will all pop next spring in planter boxes.
Keep them damp at this point. Don't let them dry out. I mean, because you probably watered them when you put them.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, so, you know, you don't want the soil really to dry out.
Now we're
just in case the roots are starting to grow. I mean, keep them going by keeping the soil damp.
This week when I finished my fire coverage at 6 o'clock on, it was maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, my wife and I went out to dinner to Montgomery Village. And as we were coming out of the restaurant, we were walking down the sidewalk, and both of us almost stopped at the same time and said, what is that fragrance? It just stopped us dead in our tracks. And we looked around, and there in a planter box on the sidewalk was a little white flower. And we walked over to it, bent over. It was a white gardenia.
No.
Yes.
Oh, Steve.
In full bloom. It was like, close your eyes and be transported to Hawaii.
Wow. How exciting.
I know, it was. Everything else was kind of shriveled up. And you know, but that white gardenia was like, look at me. Come on over.
Okay, I want to know, and I'm sure the listeners want to know, Did either of you pick that flower?
No, we did not.
Okay.
No.
Good
boy. We wanted to put up a sign like, please come over and sniff me. Don't pick, just sniff. But what,
wow.
It's just what we needed. Wow. We had a good meal, but we were still feeling pretty blue about everything. And that flower just said, hey, there's hope.
Wow.
So right over this way. So thanks to
far-sighted
gardener in the Montgomery Village area who handles their landscaping, planted that gardenia.
Mm-hmm.
It made our evening. 636-1350, the number to reach us live in the KSRO greenhouse this morning. We'd love to hear from you with whatever gardening questions you might have. And, of course, as fire updates come our way, we will let you know. And someone did call and say, I still don't have power up in Windsor. But they did also add that at the end of their lane, there was some fire damage. So if you're in any area that was even peripherally involved with fire, PG&E probably has not restored your power yet.
Yeah.
But most people are well on their way. They're probably at 98% restoration for electrical power, and they are working on gas power resumption today. And hopefully people will have that by the end of the day. We'll come right back. We'll go back to your calls and emails right after this.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team once again has won first place at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. That makes it 15 years in a row. We invite you to the nursery, shop the multiple greenhouses, shade houses, and outdoor displays, and visit our landscape design center to plan your garden retreat. In May, my team and I participated in the garden show at the Alameda County Fair. I'm proud to say that we won 5 out of the 8 awards, including Best of Show and Director's Choice for our landscape design.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
We went on the street to find out what you love about MySonomaDeals.com.
I always take advantage of the hotel deals.
Oh, the restaurants for sure.
Believe it or not, you can save 50% and more at MySonomaDeals.com.
I take advantage of the golf deal.
Visit MySonomaDeals.com often for the best deals in Sonoma County. They're always changing and in limited quantities.
We love the family options.
You'll find savings and fun all wrapped into one at MySonomaDeals.com.
I had no idea.
Are the results of your advertising arriving too slow? If you want to stand out from the crowd, deliver your ads to folks who are shopping at your competitor's location. Then, every day or so, reach them at home as a reminder of what you have to offer. We handle the details. You get the results. Find out how at waterdropdigital.com.
Here's a message from the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
Tick-borne diseases are preventable. Use an effective repellent and wear long pants and long-sleeve shirts when outdoors. Don't forget to check yourself, your family, and pets for ticks after outdoor activities.
Are you having a problem with rodents getting inside your home and don't know what to do? The Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District offers free advice and home inspections.
Go to msmosquito.com for more info.
If you want to get super strong, super fast, go super slow at Inform Fitness Personal Training Studio in Rohnert Park.
Increase your energy levels, muscle tone, and lean muscle mass with their 20-minute once or twice per week workout.
Here's Inform Fitness member Jeff.
I was hesitant at first because I was used to working out by myself, doing my own routine. After my first workout, I was hooked. I wish I could work out 7 days a week.
Call for a free intro session. Inform Fitness, Rohnert Park, 707-385-9860. 385-9860.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies through the weekend into Monday, but still cool temperatures. High of 79 today, 69 along the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 41, 43 on the shores. 79 again for Sunday, 65 in Bodega Bay. Monday it's 77. Tuesday, though, a few clouds come in at 76. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
In the greenhouse, it's Gwen Kilcher. It's Steve Garner. As always, it's Garden Talk Live from 9 to 11. John Ash, super chef, you know, the good food hours. We move from the garden over to the kitchen with Chef John Ash, and we will be chatting with one of the greatest cookbook authors over the past 25, 30 years. She's joining us live in the KS Arto kitchen this morning. She is coming in from London, and to talk about her new book, The Food of Sichuan, a new and updated edition of the classic Land of Plenty. Land of Plenty, which she published in 2001, has been hailed by the New York Times and others as one of the greatest cookbooks in history and the definitive book on Western for Western non-Chinese chefs about how to learn about Chinese cooking. Fuchsia Dunlop, we're thrilled to have her join us in the KS Arto kitchen. If you love Chinese food, if you've been to China, if you're looking for recommendations on things to do in the Sichuan area, do not miss the Good Food Hour today. Leigh from Healdsburg, it is your turn. Welcome to Garden Talk with Steve and Gwen. Hi, Leigh.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I planted, let's see, a year before last, I planted some purple fountain grass in a very large container, and it did fine. But now I don't, am I really supposed to cut that down to nothing? And then does it come up next year? I hope, because it says it's an annual.
Well, depending on where you live, that grass is pretty sensitive to frost and cold weather. I'm not very successful keeping it going where I am, because I get down into the high 20s, and that's just enough to kill the grass. So it's pretty much an evergreen grass, ever purple grass. So no, you shouldn't have to cut it down to the ground. But what happens is that there's a lot of the blades that start turning brown and looking ugly. So I would wait until springtime, okay, after the last frost has passed and it's starting to warm up, and you can get like a leaf rake and you can just rake out the plant, and all the dead leaves, leaves will come off of it, and then all the new growth will start to come out again, and you'll have the grass looking more purple than brown from the dead grass leaves and purple. So, you know, and then you make sure you give it enough water and give it some mulch, and so don't do anything at this time of the year. And you really don't want to cut it back down to the ground, because I think that's going to be enough to just kill it, and it's going to struggle to have new regrowth. Okay?
Great.
So you could even get some heavy-duty gloves on if you want, and go down to the, you know, stand over the plant or something, and you know, lean over it and grab it like you were, you know, putting your fingers through your hair, trying to get all the knots out. That's what you could be doing to the fountain grass, too, and you can be pulling out all the dead grass leaves like that as well, if you don't have a flexible leaf rake to do that. But with the leaf rake, you don't have to bend over, so it's easier to do that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, so don't do anything now. Just leave it alone, and like I said, do your work's cut out for you in the spring.
Okay?
Yep. Okay.
Okay, Leigh. No more fires, okay?
Yeah, exactly. You did okay up there?
Well, we had to evacuate.
Yeah, but
you're back.
It was on the next hill. It stopped. The firemen stopped it at the next hill. It was so close.
Oh my gosh!
South Pitch Mountain. Yeah. Well, we still don't have any gas on, but
okay,
we're fine.
Good.
Okay, glad you're back. Thanks, Leigh.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
You're welcome.
From Santa Rosa, Savita would like a word with us. The woman that knows all about bulbs. Hi, Savita. Good to talk with you.
Good morning, Steve and Gwen.
Morning.
Well, good morning. So, status of the garden. The most urgent thing that I see right now is my amaranth plants. because the frost, I guess, and the dryness just, you know, completely knocked them back. And we they're all of these wonderful drooping heads of 50 million, well, a little exaggeration, 50 million little seeds that are ready to drop.
No, I believe you. There would be 50 million of seeds on those plants.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I try to leave, you know, a lot for the birds to be able to eat, and they have been gleaning, which is great. But this year, I decided my strategy better change a little so that I don't have those 50 million seedlings in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cutting a lot of those heads and just laying them out on a great big huge piece of paper out of the garden so the birds can come there rather than deposit all of them in the garden.
Sounds good.
So that's one thing. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
The other thing I'll tell you was a huge surprise for me was that I had about 1,000 of the little saffron crocus bulbs. And most of them had gone to other people's gardens, which was great. But I still had a couple hundred of them in a box, just not growing at all in the garage. Went to the garage this morning, and I had been telling all of my clients, you know, these are probably not going to go ahead and just sprout for you this year because they need to get, you know, their root structure going and get acclimatized and all of that. About half of them, probably 150 bulbs, are sprouting their gorgeous little crocus flower.
Wait, they're not even in the ground and they're blooming?
They're not even in the ground and they're blooming in a dark garage, mind you.
Wow.
So this was a pleasant surprise.
Wow. So what are you going to do with them? Do you have to plant them right away or are you going to leave them?
Oh, no, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to set them up in some containers so that I can go ahead and pluck my saffron for my paella.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for you. Wow. Isn't that funny what plants do unexpectedly, you know?
Oh, it's such a surprise all the time. I just love it.
Yeah, I love it when I tell somebody, oh, I don't think that plant's going to make it, or you're never going to get fruit off of it. Well, don't cut it down, you know, just wait and see what happens next year. And then they call in and they go, guess what? We have the biggest crop of fruit and the plant is growing beautifully. So it must have been listening to me about the threat of cutting it down.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, go figure.
Oh, wow, excellent.
Well, that's a great story, Savita.
So then just one other thing is that there is a bulb that I have that I am becoming more and more enamored with because it is still in full bloom, and that's called the Star of Bethlehem.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's one of the ornithogalums.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so amazed because the weather and the dryness does not seem to have affected it very badly. And it's still in full bloom, and it's gorgeous.
It's like a purpley color?
No, it's a white, a small flower, a whole cluster of flowers, and they bloom successively up the stem, and they are white with kind of a little purple-black interior.
Okay.
A lot of florists really love it because of its long bloom.
Beautiful. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that was a reason. It's a hit to see its longevity, so that was nice.
Yeah. The fragrance or no?
No.
Okay. Okay. How beautiful.
I don't think the florist would be so enamored with it if it had a lot of fragrance.
Oh.
Well, thank you for sharing that. We're going to have an expanded talk about bulbs with you on November 30th.
I look forward to it. That's going to be so much fun. I have some incredible amaryllis bulbs coming at this time.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
We look forward. Thanks. Good to hear from you, Savita.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, folks.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got about four or five email questions with some photos attached to grab after we return from this break. 32 years and running. It's Garden Talk Live, as always, at KSRO on Saturday morning, 9 to 11.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadare.com. That's georgiadare.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and Georgia Dare, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, Botanical Artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team once again has won first place at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. That makes it 15 years in a row. We invite you to the nursery, shop the multiple greenhouses, shade houses, and outdoor displays, and visit our Landscape Design Center to plan your garden retreat. In May, my team and I participated in the garden show at the Alameda County Fair. I'm proud to say that we won 5 out of the 8 awards, including Best of Show and Director's Choice for our landscape design.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
It is KSRO. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO greenhouse as we move to the KSRO kitchen at 11:05 with Chef John Ash and special guest visiting us live in the studio, Fuchsia Dunlop, who's written the extraordinary book, The Food of Sichuan, a new and updated edition of the classic Land of Plenty. Her book, Land of Plenty, which came out in 2001, was called the best cookbook ever written for non-Western cooks to understand Chinese cooking. The best ever written. And also, that was from the New York Times, another periodical of note said, one of the best cookbooks in history. So it is a joy to welcome Fuchsia Dunlop into the KS Arto kitchen today. Tony from Forestville, welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Hello. This year I had some zinnias I had gotten at the Grape and Flower Show, and they were magnificent. What I want to do now is save those flower seeds. What's the best way to do it?
Well, as long as those flowers weren't hybrids of some sort, then what you collect the seeds from will be what's going to come up next year. Okay, so do okay. As long as they weren't hybrids, otherwise you save the seed from one flower and you sow the seeds next year, you're going to have a couple different colors popping up or heights or sizes, size of flower, color of flower, whatnot, because you take two different types of zinnias and you, you know, pollinate them together, and then that's what they sell at the nurseries, called a hybrid variety. So you could go ahead now. I mean, I'm sure the leaves have all dried up and have been hit with the frost and the
Pretty much.
So what I would do is just grab a hold of the flower head and cut just below that with the pruners. Put them in a brown bag. Cut the whole flower off, put them in a brown bag, and then store them in a nice, dry, cool place. And in the springtime, you can, you know, get a big bowl or over a table or something and pull all those little seeds off of that flower head, which looks like a little cone or some sort of shape. Okay? And it's really hard to tell which are the seeds and which is the old part of the little flower petal. So you could take that whole, you know, mess that you have and just sprinkle it on the ground, cover it with about a quarter of an inch of, you know, good soil, water it, keep the area damp, and eventually those little seedlings are going to start to come up and they'll probably be overcrowded. And so you can just pick out some of the ones that aren't doing the best. Excuse me, keep the stronger growing ones, and then eventually they'll all start blooming, and then you can save the seeds again next fall and keep saving your seeds that way. So they're really easy to do. It's really easy to save the seeds, and don't put them in a plastic bag or anything, a nice brown bag. That way there's air in there in case the flower head is a little bit damp. It won't start molding. Okay.
Can I store them in a cold area?
Anywhere, anywhere, as long as it's not damp.
Okay.
Okay, you want them to dry.
What really amazed me about these zinnias is they never died. I never cut them, and they never died. And they bloomed all summer.
Yep. My neighbor grows quite a bit of zinnias, and she doesn't cut them, but they keep sending out little side shoots, and, you know, the older flower will kind of peter out a bit, and the side branches come out, and the little side branches off of that one. So that's the particular variety that does that. Like sunflowers. Oh. Some sunflowers, you'll just get one flower, one stalk with one big flower head, and that's it. And then some of them, you'll have multi-branching, they call, where you have a lot of flowers over a lot of different stems. So that's what you have as well, but with zinnias.
Yeah, they were fantastic. The neighbors loved them, so I'm going to do it again.
Okay, good. And I hope for you that they're just an open pollinated variety where you will be pleasantly surprised when they start to bloom next spring, summer, and they're the same things as what you have. So
great.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Get out and do it now before the flower heads get really old and sometimes they start crumbling and then drop their seeds. So you want to get them before it's too late.
I'll do that today.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony, from Forestville. Uh-huh. Nice talking with you this morning. Michelle did follow up with some photos, Gwen, of about her oak a little bit earlier. The leaves ooze the black, dusty, moldy material. She said, I thought it came from the acorns, so it's obviously in the tree itself. So we can take a look at this, and it doesn't look good.
Yeah, so it looks like, you know, this oak tree has, like, little pointy edges on it. So, you know, pin oaks and red oaks look really similar. So I see all this blackish stuff on it, which to me looks like sooty mold, which is something that's a little fungus that starts to grow on leaves after an insect has been sucking the juice out of the tender stems or underneath the leaves. So the insect that could be in there could be scale, because red oaks and pin oaks are known for having scale problems, and they suck the juice out, and then that drops on top of the leaves, and then this little fungus grows and it turns black, and then we call it sooty mold because it looks like soot. So what somebody is going to have to do is get a ladder and climb up in there and get a magnifying glass, because that helps you look for bumps on the stems, on the little twigs and whatnot of the tree, right near where the black sooty mold is. And from some of the photos that she sent, it looks like it's spread quite a bit around the canopy of the tree. But if you look for these bumps that don't look like they're part of the stem, and if you scrape them with your finger and if they break off, then that's scale. I mean, if you do see something like that, you can send me a photo. Again, I don't think we're going to have time this morning, but next week. And then it's a scale insect that's causing this problem. The problem is what to do about it. You could spray the entire tree with a horticultural oil that
would smother
mm-hmm. the young ones, but you'd have to do that not now because there are no new babies yet, but early in the spring after the adults have, you know, laid their eggs, and then these little crawlers, all the babies come out. They're called crawlers because they start crawling around and then they anchor themselves down. That's when they're most vulnerable because their shell covering is really susceptible to being, you know, smothered by an oil. So you got your work cut out for you with this one. I mean, rake up all the leaves and get rid of it. You could have somebody come out and take a look at this tree if you're having a hard time finding what insect it is, if you can't find any scales. But or just, you know, leave it alone and let nature take care of it. And, yeah, that's too bad.
So like Michelle that, just followed up with a thank you for your insight, and she knows what she has ahead of her to try to control.
Get up there
this.
With a ladder and find the culprit, okay. And then you can control it early in the spring if you can. But those are pretty good-sized trees. So
here's a question. Hi, Steve. Hi, Gwen. I just heard your discussion about crepe myrtle. My crepe myrtle tree is really big, at least 25-plus feet tall, and never trimmed. What do you suggest for trimming care at this point? That's Gary from Petaluma.
Wow, so it's gone 25 years never being trimmed. Why bother now? Now,
well,
you
we
might
don't,
want
we don't know
to.
How old it, we don't know how old it is. It's 25 feet
tall.
Oh,
25 feet, sorry. Yeah. Okay, well, wait until all the leaves fall down. Wait until January or so after the holidays when we have nothing else to do. You can stand back and look at the framework of the tree. Crepe myrtles really don't need a lot of pruning. But if you see some branches that are growing too close together and they have very narrow crotches, somebody in time can break off. So, you know, you want to cut back all the old flowers that have, you know, the flower stems that are behind. There's a lot to do about pruning crepe myrtles. You see a lot of people just take, you know, chainsaws and just zip, zip, zip,
yep.
And then they sprout back with 1,000 shoots on them, but then you're going to be causing more problems later on. So you want to do some selective pruning. Cut out any crisscrossing branches growing in the wrong direction, maybe real thin, wimpy branches that don't amount to anything. You can cut those out so you have like a, you know, just keep the main branches of the tree, the main framework of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You can cut back all those old flower heads if you want to a little branch that's growing towards the outside, growing outwards instead of inwards. Like I said, look for branches that are growing too close together and have somebody make an executive decision which branch you have to cut out so it doesn't rip off the tree. And just do a little at a time. You could just do what you can one day, go back to it a week later or whenever and look and see, oh, I think I want to cut this and this. You don't have to do it all at one time. So, you know, just be cautious.
Lori's initial question from about an hour ago about crepe myrtles and the terrible powdery mildew that she was experiencing, she follows up, hi to Garden Talk again. Many thanks for addressing my question about powdery mildew. Wondering if I could have one tree at a time removed and replace them with a different kind of tree, or even do it all at once, all three of them. Might the soil, though, be holding the spores of powdery mildew that would spread to the new trees? Thanks again, Lori.
I feel bad that you're having to think about pulling out these trees, but okay. You can take them all out at one time. You could do one at a time, whatever you want to do. And no, the spores of the powdery mildew won't affect the new varieties if you get the powdery mildew resistant varieties, which don't have any problem with getting powdery mildew at all. But you check with your nursery person and make sure that they are one of those varieties that are resistant to powdery mildew. And then you're good to go.
And it doesn't matter if the spores are in the soil because
they're not going to be affected by it.
Well,
like, you know, roses, they're resistant to certain diseases, and some you show a picture of it and they get it. So,
well, we have a few more email questions, which we're not going to be able to get to today. We'll grab this one because look at this photo. It's from Jan, and she says, hi, Steve, I've one-upped you. And she sent a photo of the most exquisite tropical flower in full bloom. Beautiful.
It looks like that Hawaiian flower, you know, with five petals, white, and with a little spraying of yellow in the center. Those big leaves.
I don't know what it's called.
Plumeria.
Is it a plumeria?
Plumeria? Looks like it.
Yeah.
But wow, that's beautiful. And to be growing around here.
Yeah, Jan, if it's a plumeria, let us know, because it's gorgeous. It looks like she just got back from Hawaii.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a gardenia.
No, it doesn't look like a gardenia to me. But if you'll let us know, Jan, it's a looker.
Yeah, and I'll bet it has a fantastic fragrance.
Well, we need to find that out, too. So let us know if you have a moment, if you know exactly what flower this is that's in full bloom. Dave, we can't get to your questions about powdery mildew care, because we need a little more time to look at your possible solutions on how you've treated powdery mildew. And we'll get to that next week. Back after this.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett Musburger. Please join me for play-by-play of every Raiders game on FM News Talk Radio KSRO 103.5 and 94.5.
Hello, I'm Joyce Defala, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We want to let you know that in addition to our Sunday morning services, we also have an informal Sunday evening gathering at 7 p.m. and a free one-hour class on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We'd also like to invite you to visit our store, Stepping Stones Books and Gifts, where you'll find a wide range of items for the spiritually inclined. Open Sunday through Wednesday, that's Stepping Stones Books and Gifts at the Center for Spiritual Living, 2075 Occidental Road. Or visit Stepping Stones online at steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
The only constant is change, but Winter Stoke is eternal. This fall, celebrate the official kickoff to winter with Warren Miller's 70th anniversary film, Timeless, presented by Volkswagen. It's not just a movie, it's an experience. 70 years in the making. Go to warrenmiller.com.
Two shows in Santa Rosa at 3rd Street Cinema Saturday, December 7th, 4:30 and 7. Tickets on sale at warrenmiller.com or at 3rd Street Cinema box office.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team once again has won first place at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. That makes it 15 years in a row. We invite you to the nursery, shop the multiple greenhouses, shade houses, and outdoor displays, and visit our Landscape Design Center to plan your garden retreat. In May, my team and I participated in the garden show at the Alameda County Fair. I'm proud to say that we won 5 out of the 8 awards, including Best of Show and Director's Choice for our landscape design.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Well, that was a lively 2 hours of garden talk. We thank you, Gwen, and thank our listeners for great response and great questions today.
Yeah, great questions, everyone. Thank you.
We will see you next week in the greenhouse.
Okay.
We move from the greenhouse to the kitchen with Chef John Ash. It's the Good Food Hour coming up next.